Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for unveiling us to us the reality of your name, Father. Yahweh Yireh, Father. That in the gift of your Son you mean to show us, O God, the deep realities of your provision, Father. And today as we come to you, Father, enable us to see, O God, the dimensions in which, O God, you have blessed us through your Son, Father. What you have given us in him, what you mean for each one of us to receive, to realize, and express through our lives, Father. Remove from us every hindrance, O God, to the understanding, O God, that everything comes forth in Christ Jesus. That without him there is nothing, O God. That in him, O God, we have, O God, the abundance of all eternity, Father. So, Father God, unveil your Son to us, Father. Unveil him to us, O God, in a living witness, O God, of blood, water, and spirit, that sacrifice, O God, of Jesus, that it be made manifest in us, that we may realize all of your provisions in the abiding and the eternal, Father. So bless us, O God, that our hearts will be opened. Bless us, O God, that we will see some of the dimensions in which, O God, you have blessed us, Father, in your Son by the Spirit. So open our hearts that we may receive, Father. Remove from us every hindrance of our intellects. Remove from us, O God, every hidden agenda. And enable us, O God, to simply bow down and receive, O God, the blessings of your provision. For you are the provider. And Father, everything that we have in you, Father. So we thank you for what you mean to give us, Father, through your Son. Because all things that you mean to give us have to be defined, O God, in your Son. So that they will find, O God, the right perspective within us, Father. So open our hearts that we may see and understand. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to write the word into our hearts. To open our hearts with gratitude, O God, for the gift of the Son, Father. Open him, O Lord, in all of his fullness, Lord, within us. That we may through him be unveiled to the glory of the Father's grace, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on module 8. And the topic we are on is unveiling the name of God. And we are on the covenant name Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh Yireh. The Lord who is our provider. I am who I am. I am your provider. So we have learned that God has provided us in the fullness of the Son. Today we're going to look at many verses today. And we're going to look at what God has given us in the Son. We're going to do this not by exposition, by just looking at the different verses that open to us the reality of what God has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So let's turn to John chapter 1 verse 16. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. In the American Standard it reads grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In the New American Standard it reads grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So this is what we need to understand. The fullness of Jesus Christ is the basis on which God provides for us eternally. The fullness of Jesus Christ is the means by which God provides for us eternally. And today we want to look at how God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. All right? And we're going to look at several verses. And I hope you get the picture. The first thing that comes after the fullness of Jesus Christ is a witness. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Right? So, the fullness of Jesus Christ is open to us in a witness. In the witness. Alright? So let's look at verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So in this witness, Jesus comes alive to us. The Holy Spirit brings alive in us the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so we find that the fullness of Jesus Christ is practical provision. It is a practical witness in which we live, move, and have our being in God. It is the practical means by which God expects us to learn how to do all things. And if you learn how to function in this witness, you will die to self and you will come alive to what God has provided for you in the Son by the Holy Spirit. And you will stand before the living witness of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit at all times, in every situation, in every circumstance. And you will stand before the witness of God at the speed of thought. And that's what God has given you in Christ Jesus. Access to the heart of God at the speed of thought. Through this witness that God wants to cultivate in your life. But this witness is a living expression of the fullness of Jesus Christ. All right? And this fullness of Jesus Christ is the framework in which God provides. All right? Okay, what happens in this witness? Let's turn to Colossians. What happens in this witness of the fullness of Jesus Christ? Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9 and verse 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You are complete in him. All right? So we are made complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. So his fullness is the means by which God completes all things in our lives. I will repeat that. In the fullness of Jesus Christ, God makes all things complete. All right? Praise the Lord. And in him, you have been made complete. That's how the New American Standard phrases that. All right? Verse 11. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What does that mean? That in Christ Jesus, God has ordained that everything of your flesh will be circumcised and removed. And you will be brought alive to the living God through the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So, in the working of God, right? So through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, God works. And God works and he brings you alive to a newness. All right? He brings you alive to a newness. You become a new creation. So Ephesians 2:10 says that we are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of God. We are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of God. So God has provided for us creatively. God has provided for us in a living witness. God has provided for us in terms of us becoming complete in his provision. God has provided for us in a process of circumcision that removes from us our fleshly ways. All right, let's turn to the book of Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And this is a circumcised reality. And this circumcised reality that puts no confidence in our fallen flesh is a circumcised reality. It comes to us through the circumcision of Christ. Now Jesus Christ was circumcised on the eighth day and given the name Jesus. He was circumcised under the law and he was given the name Jesus. Now we see the fulfillment of the law and the name of Jesus manifested in us removes our fleshly ways. So as you unveil the name of Jesus in this witness within you, you are circumcised and your fleshly ways die. You come alive to a whole brand new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So all this is part and parcel of God's provision. All right? It's all part and parcel of God's provision. So let's go back to Colossians and let's look at some other things that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 13 of chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. And when you were dead in your transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Right? So God has positionally forgiven us. And if we, as we appropriate that forgiveness, God fulfills the process of change within us. And so, because God has undertaken to fulfill this process of change, God has undertaken to work this process of change in our lives. Right? You see that what God has done something for us in Jesus Christ. Verse 14 and 15, it says that our debts are cancelled. Having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So we need to understand something. That in Christ Jesus, God has given us victory. Victory over evil, victory over sin. And he has given it to us through a process in which we are forgiven. And as long as we stay in this process of change that God has ordained in Christ Jesus, we will see and realize the victory of the Lamb in our lives, in our transformed nature. This process of circumcision that removes our fleshly way, right, is a process that enables us to be set free. It's a supernatural process. Romans chapter 2, verse 29 says that we are circumcised by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit circumcises us in the witness and testimony of Jesus, and we are set free from the law of sin and death. We are set free from the bondages of sin. So in Christ Jesus, God has made you complete. In Christ Jesus, God has released a process that will enable the workmanship of God to be manifested in your life. So all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. All things are possible in what God has provided for you in Jesus Christ. The key is to learn how to make Jesus alive in every facet of your life. The key is to learn how to express Jesus Christ in every facet of your life. And you will see the freedom and liberty of the truth set you free. Amen. So in Christ Jesus, God has given you a whole new life. And as you discover this life, you will die to the life of the world. That life of the flesh. The fallen flesh. And this is a discovery that is built into a witness. We're talking here about life, guys. Jesus Christ is life. And the reality of Jesus Christ is something we live all the time. We don't live by a credo of laws and principles. We live by Jesus Christ. Now in Jesus Christ, we will realize a whole new way of functioning. We function in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:2 says that this is the law of life that sets you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. So to live in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit is a witness inside of you that God wants to develop and build in your life continuously. From level to level, it's a Passover. It takes you into the Mount of the Lord. It takes you into the realities of what God can do in you and through you. And lo and behold, you are called to live a new life. You live by having your being in God. You live, move, and have your being in God. And that's what God is bringing forth through Jesus Christ. He's teaching you in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit to live through God all the time. In every area of your life. That every expression of your life you can live through Jesus Christ. By the Holy Spirit. Every aspect of your relationships, every kind of word that comes out of your mouth. Every expression of your thoughts, your words, your deeds will be an expression of Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, you are made complete. And this is God's provision. Now it's very important for you to understand that Yahweh Yireh is a reality that unveils in Jesus Christ. That's the reality that sets us on the abiding. If you're going to live in the eternal, we are going to live in the abiding. If you're going to rise above the realities of this world and live in the excellence of what God provides, then it has to come in and by and through Jesus Christ. And what comes into you in and by and through Jesus Christ can only come to you by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? So Jesus Christ is the means by which you are set free from falsehood, from every kind of sin. Praise the Lord. Why is this so? Let's look at verse 17 of chapter 1, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. So God has ordained something, right? And He says that He, that is Jesus Christ, is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. So if you want things to make sense in your life, you have to come alive to Jesus Christ, because only in Jesus Christ will all the parts begin to make sense. Only in Jesus Christ is there a unity of life. Only in Jesus Christ can things start making sense. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. Right? So that's how God has provided for us. That as Jesus Christ comes to have first place in everything, we realize every blessing that God has given us. But if Jesus Christ does not come to have first place in our hearts, then God cannot give us what He wants to give us. Why? Because it will not be sustainable. All right. Verse 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. So that is the will of God. And the will of God is that all the fullness is in Jesus Christ. And the task given to the church is to unveil that fullness that God has ordained. That is the will of God. That is the will of God. So you realize that in Christ Jesus, God has provided you with His will. In Christ Jesus, God's will becomes practical. God's will becomes realizable. God's will becomes doable. God's will becomes obeyable. If there's such a word as obeyable. Right? Right? Through Jesus Christ, the desire for God's will be built inside of you. It is not something that you will run away from or be filled with fear of. Because through Jesus Christ, God will teach you how to walk in His will. God will teach you how to delight in the fear of the Lord. Right? Delight. In Jesus Christ, you will feed on God's will. Keep your finger here. Let's turn to John chapter 4. Let's read from verse 31. Keep your finger on Colossians. In the meanwhile, the disciples were requesting Him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But He said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." The disciples therefore were saying to one another, "No one brought Him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." What is Jesus saying? I feed on the will of God. I feed on the will of God. So what did He tell the disciples? You don't know of this food. So what is God saying? That through Jesus Christ, you too and I will become people who can feed on the will of God. But that is a process that can only be brought to us in Jesus Christ, because we in ourselves know nothing about that. Are you listening? All right. Okay, so let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself. All things. And it starts within you first. It starts in your life. It starts in your life, and it manifests through your life and my life and the life of the entire church. And God will reconcile all things to Himself. But it will only take place through Jesus Christ. having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. You see, God's provision in Jesus Christ is so great and so glorious that it will affect all things on earth and in heaven. God is also telling you that if you and I are going to understand our ultimate purpose in God, we are going to understand it only as we unveil Jesus in our lives. As you unveil Jesus in your life, you will begin to see yourself touch things on earth and in heaven. Now, these are things we are talking about that are very deep, very profound, very awesome. But that's where God's taking us, in the provision that is in Jesus Christ. He's making us sons of God. And he's telling us that you will ultimately stand in positions where you will affect things in heavenly places and on the earth. Right? Now, these are things that we know very little about, we understand very little about, because these things can only be understood through what God gives you in Jesus Christ. So what does God give you in Jesus Christ? He gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He gives you his counsels. He gives you his strength. Are you with me? He makes you God-fearing. And he makes you a people who come alive to the thoughts of God. You find in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and 3, that God has released through Jesus Christ an anointing that will enable us to be wise, will enable us to have strength, will enable us to have wisdom, will enable us to have understanding, will enable us to be alive to the counsels of God. It will enable us to be alive to the Spirit of God. It will enable us to take delight in the fear of the Lord. And all this is part and parcel of God's provision in Jesus Christ. The best verse that describes all that and puts it in perspective is found in Colossians again. Colossians chapter 2. Let's turn to that. It talks about attaining in the middle of verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. Right? In the middle of verse 2, I'm using the New American Standard here. It says, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All know-how to affect heavenly and earthly movements are manifested through Jesus Christ. So it's very important for you to understand that what we are saying here is this, that you have to grow through everything God has given you in Jesus Christ. You cannot grow by just practicing a principle. You cannot grow by trying to practice the law. You have to live Jesus Christ. You have to live the character and nature of Jesus Christ. You have to live the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. You have to live the faith and love of Jesus Christ. You have to live the witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. You have to live his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. You have to live his counsels. You have to live by everything. 1:16, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth can only be realized through Jesus Christ. Grace enables you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Truth sets you free. And all of that comes out of Jesus Christ. So this is the difference between the law and the fulfillment of the law. The moment you look at Jesus Christ, you're walking into the reality of the fulfillment of the law. Are you listening? And it's God's provision. Under the law, the male sexual organ was circumcised. In the fulfillment of the law, the human hearts of men and women are circumcised. And circumcised so that they will have no confidence in the fleshly ways. Under the law, people were commanded not to do this and not to do that. In the fulfillment of the law coming to us in the nature, character of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the thinking processes of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, we will not do the things that are wrong because we will have no desire for it. Why will we have no desire for it? Because we have come to receive and realize of Christ Jesus. And when we come to receive of and realize of Christ Jesus, we will have a nature that will not want to sin. We will have a nature that will despise sin. We will have a nature that will despise every kind of corruption. We will have a nature that will be aligned with the perfection of God. We will have a nature that is built in the will of God. A nature that draws the strength of God and will have no desire to do what is wrong. Are you listening? Amen. So it's very important to understand that under Yahweh Yireh, that name Yahweh Yireh has got no meaning if you remove Jesus from it. Because otherwise what God provides for you will just come to your life and it'll just pass away. Nothing will remain. For something to become sustainable and abiding, it must be entirely in and of Jesus Christ. If it's not in and of Him, it will die. Listening. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard again. Blessed, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remove Christ Jesus and none of this exists. The battle in the church is for the church to learn and understand how to receive and develop all things in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. The church has been foolishly misled into thinking that if we practice principles and understand doctrines, we are fine. We are only fine when the doctrine is defined in Jesus Christ and brought forth by the Holy Spirit. There's no purpose to doctrine that is not unveiled in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So God says very categorically here that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, but it only exists in Christ Jesus. So He says, this has been God's choice. So it says, just as He chose us in Him. So you see, God has chosen us, but He has chosen us in Christ Jesus. We are not chosen people without Jesus Christ. We are chosen people only in Christ Jesus. Right? So just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Now God can make such a declaration because in Christ Jesus we are enabled to be holy and blameless. You see, the miracle of what God is providing you with comes in and by and through Jesus Christ. See, holiness and blamelessness come to you only because of you being enabled to receive and realize of Jesus Christ. And because you can receive and realize of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, God says off the bat, you will be holy and blameless. I am Almighty God. I will do this. But I will do this only through my Son. I will only do this by what I bring forth through my Son into your life. What I take of my Son and manifest into your being. It cannot come out of you practicing some religious principles or some religious practices. It can only come out of the fullness of the Son. Today, if you hear some of the prophetic messages, right, coming out in major visions, right, God is showing some astonishing visions to prophets in all over the world. And some of it is being published. We need to understand that while those visions are spectacular, the one thing that God is always dramatically showing through those visions is that everything that God is going to do is going to come out of the Son. But what we must understand, what He is manifesting of the Son is going to be made manifest from our inward parts. It's going to come from inside of us and explode. Right? It's going to come alive from us from the inside. Because of His fullness we have all received. That is the key. In love, verse 4, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. See, again He says, through Jesus Christ to Himself. You can only consider yourself a son unto God through Jesus Christ unto God. Take away Jesus Christ and there is no such thing as sonship. So God's provision in Jesus Christ is through sonship. Through Jesus Christ we are adopted. A very strong adoption. All right? According to the kind intention of His will. So God's will involves Jesus Christ. God's will is not by the letter of the law. You know, we have driven a lot of people out of the church, making them walk out of the church by teaching holiness by the letter of the law and terrifying people through the letter of the law, making the things of God unbearable to the human being. We need to understand that growing in holiness, growing in the will of God, is something that comes out of a growth process that manifests in Christ Jesus. It is of Him. That as God molds more and more of Jesus Christ inside of us, we will naturally become holy to God. We will naturally have a desire to fulfill God's will. We will naturally have a desire to belong to God. We will have naturally a desire, a real desire to do things that are pleasing to our Father. Because if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, He had a heart to simply please the Father. Now such a heart we don't know anything about. Such a heart God manifested in Christ Jesus, and through the cross He manifests that heart to us in a living witness of blood, water and spirit. And He says, receive of My Son. Receive of His fullness. And you will have the desire to serve Me. You will have the desire to belong to Me. You will have the desire to obey Me. You will have the desire to trust Me. You will have a yearning to know Me. You will have a yearning to pray. You will have a yearning to spend time in My presence. You will have a yearning to do things that are right and true. It won't be imposed on you by the letter of the law, because God is saying, I have already shown you that by the letter of the law you cannot come to belong to Me. Because My demands are too great for you. Because My demands are far beyond what you can do in yourself. So I sent you My Son. I give you My Son. Because in Him all things are attainable. In Him you will be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And so if you receive of My Son, if you build your life in and through My Son, you will become all that I want you to become. Nothing will be impossible to you. And the church will grow. And the church will grow. And the process of growth will just come by itself. Naturally. Because through Jesus Christ you will have a desire for the things of God. You will have more than a desire. You will have a passion for the things of God. You will abhor the things of the flesh. It will have no hold on you. Praise the Lord. So the provision of the Son, you have to understand how deep is that provision. That God would express His name in it. So God has provided us by name. I am who I am. I am your provider. What is He providing you in? He's providing you in His name. He's providing for you in who He is and in all that He is. And He's manifesting the reality of who He is and all that He is through His Son into your heart. He's communicating that reality inside of you. And He's also bringing inside, through that He's going to bring inside of you all that stands in who God is and all that is of God. And God is opening to you a growth process that has boundless potentials. Boundless potentials. But you must understand, those boundless potentials only exist in Christ Jesus. Take him out and it's not there anymore. It is not a question of receiving an anointing. It is not a question of just being blessed. It's a question of the Son. He is to be preeminent. He is to have first place in all things. If he doesn't have first place, brother, it won't work. The ministry won't work. Your life won't work. Your purposes won't work. If he doesn't come to have first place, nothing that God wants to do with your life will come alive. It has to come through you, into you by the Son. Don't be foolish. If you want to change, if you want to do what God wants you to do, you can only do it if you receive of Jesus Christ. Something of Jesus must manifest inside of you, then you will do it. If it does not come like that, you won't do it. You can try as hard as you want. You can memorize all the pages of the scripture you want. If Jesus doesn't become the scripture to you, you will not never understand the scripture, neither will you receive and realize the scripture. Because he is the fulfillment of the scripture. He is the word of God. And until and unless the church understands that the word of God has to be explained to us in the faith and love of Jesus, in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the mind of Christ, in the thought processes of Jesus Christ, we will not grow to become what God wants us to be. But this is the good news. In Jesus Christ, all things are possible. In Jesus Christ, you will surely grow, no matter who you are, no matter where you have come from, no matter what you have done, no matter how many mistakes you have made in your life. In Jesus Christ, there is a new future opening to you. There is a new future available to you. And brethren, it is guaranteed in His blood. It is guaranteed in His cross. It is guaranteed in His witness. It is the true and faithful witness. The beginning of the creation of God. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14. The Amen. The true and faithful witness. The beginning of the creation of God. Praise the Lord. So you need to understand this. Right? That this witness of God in blood, water and spirit within you, this witness that God has manifested through the sacrifice of the Son, is a witness that is meant to make you a new creation. Amen? A new creation that is a blessing. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. For as many as may be the promises of God, in Him they are yes. In whom? In Jesus Christ they are yes. Wherefore also by Him, by Jesus Christ, is our Amen to the glory of God through us. Listening? As many as may be the promises of God, in Jesus Christ they are yes and Amen. Amen? And in these promises, the glory of God will be manifested through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Are you listening? So the Holy Spirit unveils this awesome reality of everything that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ Jesus is not a theology. In Christ Jesus is a witness, guys. It is a witness that lives in you. In Christ Jesus is a reality in which you live, move, and have your being. That's what God wants to build. It is not theology. It is not something that we say theologically, in Christ Jesus, now I can go and do my own thing. That's not what it's all about. It's saying that in Christ Jesus is a state of being. It's a state of being, and God wants to build that inside of you so that you will learn how to live, move, and have your being in Christ Jesus. Only then are the promises of God available to you. And this position in Christ Jesus is a position that is brought to you only by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will lead you into all truth. Right? John 16, verse 13. Right? But Jesus Christ in John 14, verse 6 said, I am the truth. So I am the truth is only made alive to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the truth is only made alive to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the truth is Jesus Christ. I am the truth is a witness. It is a witness that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's a witness. In that witness you live, move, and have your entire being. That's what God has designed in Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to make a theological statement. He meant to come and express a reality where you and I can live, move, and have our being in Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit opens that and develops that reality inside of us. Praise the Lord. And this is God's provision. God provides. How does He provide? By grace. So listen to John 1:16 again. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And grace upon grace. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So nothing is meant to be impossible for you. As long as you understand that what God is going to bring into your life is going to be manifested in your life in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will work that reality inside of you. So when you pray in tongues, what are you doing? You're realizing the provisions of God. How? Through the Spirit and life of Jesus. Through the faith and love of Jesus. All those are part and parcel of what the Bible calls the mystery of Christ. So when you pray in a tongue, you pray in the mysteries of God. You get into realities and you are supposed to be focused on Jesus Christ. Because He is the mystery that God wants to unveil in you. If you don't unveil the mystery of Jesus Christ, every other promise that God has given you cannot come to you. If you're going to learn how to operate the gift of the Holy Spirit the right way, whatever may be that gift, you need Jesus to be the blueprint of that gift. Because if He is not the blueprint of that gift inside of you, I guarantee it to you, you will misuse it. Because that gift of the Holy Spirit is something that Jesus developed in His life and His witness and His testimony. And the Holy Spirit is bringing that forth as a gift. It's called the gift of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit makes that gift alive in you. But you must understand there is no meaning to that gift without Jesus Christ. So that gift has to be developed in the Spirit and life of Jesus. That gift has to be developed in the faith and love of Jesus. That gift has to be developed in the character and nature of Jesus. That gift has to be developed in the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sense? Because He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the blueprint of all creation. Right, let's go back to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1. And He is the image of the invisible God. Amen. And because He is the image of the invisible God, He can then be the firstborn of all creation, the blueprint of all creation. Praise the Lord. Let's look at it again. And He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. So you understand that if he is going to come forth in your life and my life the right way, it has ultimately got to be built for the glory of Jesus Christ. He must be glorified from our hearts. We must operate our giftings to glorify him. We must unveil our callings to glorify Jesus Christ. Because if we do not glorify Jesus Christ, the purpose for which God sent his Son will not be fully realized in your life. So it is very important for us to understand that God says, verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Not in some things, not in what we wish to do. He has to have first place in everything. If we are not doing everything in Jesus Christ, we are not in the will of God. So you see, the will of God is not manifested by the letter of the law. The will of God is unveiled as you come alive to Jesus Christ. It comes through a relationship, guys. It is not by the letter of the law, God waiting there with a sledgehammer. Every time you do something wrong, he slams your fingers with a sledgehammer. That is not a picture of God, that's a picture of the devil. See, God understands that you and I can't do his will unless we realize his provision for you. And his provision for you is in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're going to have the desire to do what God wants you to do, you have to receive something of the heart of Jesus. What's so special about the heart of Jesus? The heart of Jesus simply desired to please the Father. So if you are going to please the Father, it has to be something that God has to manifest out of the heart of Jesus inside of you and inside of me. That's what is called the testimony of Jesus. That's why Revelation 19 verse 10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen? What is prophecy? That which will be fulfilled. Only through the testimony of Jesus is there fulfillment potential. That's what God is saying through Colossians. That Jesus Christ is to have first place in everything. Why? Because only in him, only if he has first place, can something be actually fulfilled. Can something actually be manifested in the way God wants it to be manifested. If he doesn't have that preeminent position, if Jesus Christ does not have the preeminent position in our heart, we are not walking in the will of God, we are bluffing ourselves. So if Jesus Christ is going to be preeminent in you and me, it has to be something that has to unveil in our own free will. You must, in your own free will, come to freely understand and realize that Jesus Christ deserves to be preeminent. You will come to understand that he has to be preeminent. You must come to have a passion to see him being preeminent. Otherwise, nothing is going to work. How do we know that? We already know that, isn't it? Haven't you lived long enough to understand that nothing works the right way? Or if something appears to work, it is not sustainable. So, therefore, you and I must understand that we must see and know and understand. It is just basic common sense that Jesus Christ must be preeminent. Amen? That the only way you and I are going to understand the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of God is if we come into the conviction that Jesus must be preeminent in my life. He must be preeminent in my home. He must be preeminent in everything that I do. He must be preeminent in my ministry. Right? He must be preeminent. I'm living so that he will reign in my life. How do you like that? See how important it is to come into a relationship with Jesus. You see, you have to fall in love with Him. If you don't fall in love with Him, all I'm talking about is just pie in the sky, guys. You can't do this by trying to practice the law. The Jews tried to practice the law and they betrayed Him every step of the way. He did miracles in front of them. He delivered them from their enemies. It didn't make any sense. At the end, they just went back into sin. Why? Because they weren't in love with Him. That's why the law of God demands you shall love me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So in order for you and I to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Jesus Christ was provided for us through the cross. Because through the cross, God is saying to you, I love you. Not in a romantic candlelight dinner fashion. But it's through the trauma of the cross. Do you know that if Jesus Christ had manifested hurt and pain in His heart, in hatred or in anger or in unforgiveness, do you know that God Himself would have been defeated on the cross? Hello? You know what were the stakes at the cross? The stakes at the cross were God Himself. If Jesus Christ in the frailty of a man had fallen victim to Satan, God would have failed. And God would no longer be God. That God would put Himself at risk for people like you and me, that's amazing. Hello? If Jesus Christ had not said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing, and meant it, after having nails driven into His body. The reality of God is love would have been defeated. Because God would have been defeated in the creation of man. If God can be defeated, then He is no longer God. Do you understand? If God can be defeated, then He is no longer God. That was what was at stake. Right? The God who took Lucifer and one third of the angels who rebelled against Him and threw them out at the speed of lightning, put Himself at risk and the frailty of a human being on the cross. That's the kind of love God is talking about. Now for us to understand all that, God has to reveal it into our hearts. You know, it's very hard to get into the passion of it all. It has to be revealed to you. And when the passion of the heart of Jesus is revealed to you, you will fall in love with Him. And when you fall in love with Him, you will realize that He must be preeminent. Amen. You see, when you actually understand the sacrifice on the cross, you will realize that I have to live for Jesus. Because there is no other purpose to life. There is no other way in which I can find life, or you can find life. It just won't work, guys. So Jesus Christ gave Himself for us so that we will find a new life. Don't substitute Him for something else. Don't substitute Him with a theology. Don't substitute Him with procedures. Don't substitute Him with laws. He is the fulfillment of the law. If you're going to do the things that God wants you to do, it's only going to happen if you love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Otherwise, you will be having thoughts in your heart as, oh my goodness, I have a career, I have this, I have that. I know all those things will start weighing in your life. So the Lord is talking. I have provided you with my Son. There's nothing greater I can give you. You can sit down and you can think about it in all eternity. There's nothing I can give you that is greater than my Son. In Him, I've given you everything that I can possibly give you. Not just today, but in all eternity. And everything that I'm going to give you in all eternity is going to come forth through my son. It's going to come forth as I make you my son. So what have we seen so far in the three names of God that we have unveiled? Yahweh Elyon, the Most High God. What is his purpose? To take us into the secret place of the Most High God, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. What position is that? Sonship. Sonship. So Jesus Christ, in celebrating the Passover, said, I have suffered so that this Passover will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And we will be unveiled in the secret place of the Most High God. And this will be the work of the Most High God. And then we found out that the Almighty God, El Shaddai, will take our hearts and he will circumcise our hearts. And he will make a covenant in that heart. And he will make us his dwelling place so that we can become sons. Correct? And after saying that God will do that, God then says, this is how it's going to happen. In my name, Yahweh Yireh, you will receive my son and you will become my sons. You will receive my sons and you will be blessed. You will be blessed forever. Everything that I will do in your life will be manifested as a blessing. But God's provision of the son does not come on a Christmas tree. It comes by a workmanship. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. That we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? Now I'm not talking here discipline by the letter of the law. I'm talking here, the scripture is talking here about the discipline that comes by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. The discipline that God manifests in making you make choices in your life. God corrects us. God molds us. God chastises us. God judges us. God corrects us. But it's all absolutely necessary so that we will have the nature and character that God wants us to have. And this comes by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. So one of the things you have to learn as a man of God or a woman of God is to let God be God. Let him work the work in your life. Don't run ahead of him. He knows what he's doing. You know, you can have a calling in God, but God has to make that calling practicable in your life. He's got to teach you what that calling means. He's got to prepare you so that you can enter and realize that calling. So there is a process. There is a process. that you have to go through before you can really enter into your calling. Don't try and short-circuit that process. Don't try and short-circuit that process. That doesn't mean you sit down and do nothing. What it means is that you don't run ahead of God, that you understand precisely what God is opening, and you do not mistake the doors man opens for the doors God opens. That's very important. And you have to learn these things. You have to learn how to sense it from within you. Brethren, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you cannot be running around asking men for their opinions. You have to know in your heart what God is saying. When a prophet speaks, your heart must be able to confirm what the prophet is speaking. If your heart doesn't confirm what the prophet is saying, you don't understand what prophecy means. Prophets are not soothsayers. So it's very important for you to discern and understand things from your witness within you. Remember that God is in the process of building that witness, because in that witness, Jesus Christ comes alive in you. Praise the Lord. Remember Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. That the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards you who believe. Praise the Lord. See, everything comes out of a revelation of Jesus Christ, your calling. To understand your calling, Jesus must be revealed in your heart. Because He has to define that calling in your heart. Because that calling is based on Him. That calling is blueprinted in Him. And that calling has to be manifested inside of you, in Him, of His fullness. That calling must be defined inside of you. Make sense? Only then will you know what that calling means. No two pastors are the same. No two prophets are the same. No two evangelists are the same. There may be similarities, but they are not the same. No two Christians walk in God the same way. That's why God says it is the secret place of the Most High God for you. He has a secret place for you. And that secret place is under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place is in the Most High God. That secret place is manifested to you in the Son. That's why He is talking about the calling being unveiled to you as a revelation through Jesus Christ. And this is part and parcel of God's calling in your life. So don't rush ahead in the flesh. You always have to understand that in order to answer the ministry call, you must be enrolled in the school of the Holy Spirit. Now you can go to Bible school, you can go to this school, you can go to that school. But you must always be enrolled in the Holy Spirit, the University of the Holy Spirit. The University of the Holy Spirit is an eternal university. And in the University of the Holy Spirit, you graduate from glory to glory. And that graduation from glory to glory is manifested in the measure of Jesus that you have received. Graduation in the University of the Holy Spirit is based, the level at which you are a graduate of the University of the Holy Spirit is measured by the level in which you have realized the fullness of Jesus Christ. There is no other qualification in the kingdom of God except the fullness of Jesus Christ. It is not about PhDs, it is not about DDs and anything else. It's about Jesus. It's all about Him. It's about who He is in your heart. So you have to start and you have to understand. Qualification is going to be dependent on the Jesus who is unveiled in your heart. on the Jesus who is unveiled in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? And the moment you speak, people will know who this Jesus you talk about is. Amen? So start that program. Start it wherever you are. Don't try to copy somebody else. And ask the Lord to build the witness inside of you. Ask the Lord to build it in the substance of the Master's fullness. So that this witness is always a witness in substance. Hupostasis. Right? So God says you must become a partaker of Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Alright? So when God provides for you, He provides for you by making you a partaker of Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm until the end. Now the Greek word for confidence there is hupostasis. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, that word hupostasis has been translated as substance. For faith is the substance of hope. And if you set your hope on Jesus Christ, the substance will be of Him. And you will end up becoming a partaker of Christ, partaker of Messiah. And you will have a confidence inside of you. In that confidence, you will know all things that God has brought inside of you in Christ Jesus. In that confidence, you will know what God is doing in your life and you will not be shaken. And that substance that manifests as a confidence is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So remember this, God's provision to you is very, very tangible. It is the substance that makes you a new creation. Praise the Lord. So that substance will manifest in a pure heart. That substance will have, right? Will be unveiled in you in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. That substance will unveil in a witness in blood, water, and spirit. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All right, we've talked about some pretty deep stuff. All right? The reason is because if we sat down and did this as an exposition of the word, telling you what Yahweh Yireh is in Christ Jesus, we will be here forever. All right? So we circumvented all that by going through this one tape. All right? So the reason is simply this. As you hear this tape, pray in tongues and ask God to manifest the revelation. Right? So God will take what is in the word, manifested to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. And out of the spirit and life of Jesus, He will establish inside of you the faith of Jesus and the love of Jesus. And that faith of Jesus will be unveiled in you in substance. Because faith is the substance. It's the substance of all that Jesus Christ has done for you. So the faith of Jesus will be manifested inside of you and all things will be possible in your life and my life. And you will grow. Alright? So it's not about you being able to do this and being able to do that. It's God being enabling you to do that. That's the key. So don't get frustrated. Understand that God knows what He's doing. Trust God and just keep on persevering in the things of God and He will do the change in your life. And it will be a very peculiar change. The more I counsel people, I realize how complex human beings are. And I realize how dangerous it is when we sometimes think we can counsel them. You know, I would think I would rather teach the word and let God do the work. So you should have a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can get into the mystery of Christ. So that you can get into the mysteries of His faith, His love, His character, and His nature. And for those of you who pray in tongues, please pray in tongues the right way. focus on Jesus and everything will find its rightful way. All the giftings will unveil in the right way. Praise the Lord. So God has provided, and He has fully provided for every one of us. Nothing, nobody has been shortchanged in the kingdom of God. Nobody has been shortchanged because of the fullness of Jesus Christ we have all received. And grace upon grace, not merit upon merit. So nothing will be impossible to you. But you must understand, we all start at different places. But the work that God is going to do in your life is going to be a unique work. Don't look at what you have done in your past. Look at what God can do inside of you, because He is going to do inside of you a unique workmanship. And there are no copies anywhere else. It's going to be a unique workmanship manifested in the fullness of Jesus Christ. It will unveil you in His image. Praise the Lord. So brethren, we are blessed. We live in a world where so many things are in darkness. We live in a world full of sorrow and pain. But God has given us Jesus Christ. And He says, in Him you will be blessed. In Him you will discover a new life. In Him you will be enabled to live that life. In Him you have a position. And that position is a unique position that God means to build in your life forever and forever. In Him, you don't have to figure out about whether you can have enough resources to go to university, or you're going to have enough resources to do this or do that, or whether you will have enough opportunities. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens you. Will you receive of Him and let Him change you? Or will you stubbornly stick on to your own ways? I want it done my way. But Jesus said, I am the way. The way. Did He lie? You have to decide whether He lied or did not lie. If He did not lie, then He is your way. So make the adjustment. You know, we can very theologically expound on Jesus being the way. But God is not looking at theological exposition. He's looking at how you live your life. Are you willing to understand that God is, that Jesus is the way? Are you willing to allow God to work that reality inside of you? That's the question. Yes, I realize that it's pretty frightening, because there are so many other things you would like to hold on to. But the Lord is saying, why don't you just turn to Me and say, Lord, have Your way. Work into Me the reality. You know, God is not asking you to give up all things and come into the kingdom of God right now. He's asking you to allow Him to work into you the reality of all things. So you grow measure by measure, glory to glory, each and every day. As God works inside of you, a different reality. And one day you will be able to make the choice and you will be able to say, yes, I want that. That's not difficult. So teach your children too. You know, the key is to allow the Lord to come alive to you every day in everything that you do. Praise the Lord. See, they are not, see, the provision of God is not a religious picture. The provision of God is life. Life is what you live every day. See, God didn't send Jesus Christ somewhere far away to do some esoteric work to become the Messiah. He kept Him in a carpenter's workshop, guys. Hello. Right? He kept Him in a carpenter's workshop. Now, that was no school of theology. What did He do? He worked with furniture. He dealt with people every day, and He was trained for the ministry. He spent time with God. He worked with God. Right, with God, he learned how to work with God, doing things that didn't seem to be very important. But through it all, God trained him. So when you look at the life of Jesus, right, he grew into his position. He grew into his position by allowing God to work into him, right? He listened, he received, he realized, and he practiced it. Where did he practice it? In a carpenter's workshop. How did he practice it? Talking with people, relating with people, relating with God, learning how to discover the favor of God as he dealt with customers every day, right? And they must have been customers who would have thrown a tantrum whenever they felt like it, right? And that's how he was trained. So why can't you be trained the same way? Right? Why do you have these religious pictures that I have to give up everything now? God will ask you to give up something when you can give it up. You can't give up something that you don't want to give up. It won't work. Yeah? See, God has got to work the reality into you. Correct? So Jesus at the age of 12 knew he was about his father's business, and he told his mother so. Yet the Bible says for the next 18 years, he spent his time being in subjection to his parents and working his hands in wood. Praise the Lord. So listen. All right? One last verse before we close for the night. It is found in Colossians chapter 1. Important book, this book, Colossians. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard because I think it is a more powerful translation. All right, so listen to these words. Colossians chapter 1, from verse 9 to 11. This is what Paul prays. He says, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Do you realize that you have to be filled with the knowledge of his will? Hello? God has to bring it alive inside of you, all right? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You realize every good work is what Jesus did in his life in the carpenter's workshop. Hello. Bearing fruit in every good work. How did he learn? By bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. The key is this, verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So what is the means by which you are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might? It is manifested in steadfastness and patience. See, the devil always tricks us into trying to make us do things as if they all happen now. They don't happen now. They begin. It's a process. When God says, I have called you to be a pastor, it doesn't mean you quit your job tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to be a pastor. Hello. It means that you start attuning your life in order that you understand that you are going to be a pastor. And so you start making the adjustments in your life so that you will be trained to be a pastor. All right? Praise the Lord. So you will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might in steadfastness and patience. That you need to understand that if you're going to be a pastor, you have to make that the focus of your life. And everything else has to be secondary to that. Now God is not saying don't go and have a job, or God is not saying that you can't do this or you can't do that. But you must understand that you can do all these things, but you are ultimately going to be a pastor. Amen? So in the process of becoming a pastor, there will come a time when you will have to go out and preach the word of God in a little home cell or something like that and grow into that position of being a pastor. Right? Whether there is one person there, whether there's two people there, that is not of a consequence. The consequence is whether you have something to preach. The consequence is to build that, what is of consequence is that you are going ahead and building that witness inside of you. That you use that opportunity to pray for people, you use that opportunity to intercede for them, and in that whole process, God is training you to be a man of God. And you wait until God has built the witness inside of you, and He will open the doors for the ministry. Step by step by step by step. Praise the Lord. Remember, steadfastness and patience. But God guarantees He will strengthen you with all power according to His glorious might. Praise the Lord. That word power is dunamis, resurrection power. Amen. It comes out of the cross. Amen. That word strengthen is dunamu. All right. Praise the Lord. Two similar words. What is it saying? You will be strengthened in the power that comes out of the cross. And that is the might of God. The might of God will ensure that. Praise the Lord. And that is God's provision, brother. So nothing will be impossible with you. Just trust the Lord and walk into it. And He will mold you. He will shape you. You may not achieve the comforts that your friends have achieved. You may not achieve the targets or the goals that they are achieving. But you are moving into things that will last forever. You are moving into a position that will build forever. And they are moving into positions that will end after 20 years, if they are lucky. Hello? If they are lucky. But you are moving into a position that will build and build and build and build and build and build forever and ever. It will make you rise and rise and rise and rise into the kingdom of God. You have a career path that never ends. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son. And we thank You, Father, for opening our hearts to understand in a small way how much You have given us in the Son. And what we have talked about today, Father, is just on the surface, Lord. There is an infinitude in the Son. There is an infinitude that the Holy Spirit has been sent to unveil in each one of our lives, forever and forever. And Lord, it is our great privilege to realize Your provision in Your Son. Because in Him we are blessed, O God, with every spiritual blessing. In Him, O God, we come alive to the kind intentions of Your will. In Him, O God, we have a purpose in all eternity. In Him, O God, we have a secret position, O God, in You, Father. In Him, O God, we are overshadowed by the Almighty. In Him, O God, nothing will be impossible to us. In Him, O God, we will truly be creatures of destiny. In Him, O God, we will be blessed, O God. In Him, O God, we will become a blessing. And in Him, O God, we will rise, O God, to hold a position in heavenly places and on the earth, O Lord. All things, O God, will be made subject, O God, to the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is meant to be written into the tablets of our heart. That, Lord, as the name of Jesus is written into our hearts, as the testimony of Jesus is explained into our lives, we will be circumcised and we will be enabled to do all things in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So, Father, as we look at what You have given us in Your Son, we understand that You have given us perfection in Your Son. You have given us, O God, the reality of all things good and true, Father. And we will walk into those things because they are unveiled into us by the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we want to thank You and bless You that You mean to strengthen us with all power according to Your glorious might. It is Your will, Father. So let Your will be done in each one of our lives. We bless You for the name of Jesus. We bless You for the persevering work of the Holy Spirit. We bless You for the kind intentions of Your will. We bless You, Father, in the name of Jesus. For there is no other name by which we can bless You and worship You, Father. And so we thank You for Jesus alive in each one of us. Amen.